The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Absolutely nothing interesting is happening in the world today. So let's do a review of the news, of the dull news. And Sadie Edwards said, seeing Papa has chosen to provide culinary content, I wonder if he would consider a cozy cheese episode, just like the old TPS time. I would love to do this. You know what's the obstacle? I don't know. Within my area, within 4 hours of driving, I don't know that I can find enough cheese that are of high quality enough to do a true cheese degustation. Last time I went to Edmonton and the cheese shop there is acceptable. I bought 2 very big wheels of 2 good cheese, but there wasn't much else. There was a lot of diversity of average cheese. Cheese that I wouldn't stand by as part of a cheese degustation episode. Cheese of the English world, you know, these low-level cheeses that I wouldn't be fascinated at talking about it. And then you talk about popping out the keyboard. For that, there would be an obstacle. I would need to buy a new piano. And I looked at the prices, and I'm always like, yeah, I could buy a cheap piano, but I'm not going to do that. I want a piano of a certain quality minimally to be satisfied, but then we're entering in the $2,000, $3,000 range. I'm not going to spend this right now. At some point, maybe, you know, at the peak of a bull run or whatever, I may do the purchase, but I don't have my piano anymore. I got rid of my piano when I fled PEI, gave it to the trash junk guys. Click Accept says, did Candace Owens get vindicated on her accusations against Macron's wife? No, I wouldn't say she is vindicated. I would say it's still an open question, still an interesting investigation. But it's interesting how in our current coverage, there's so much French. There's too many French connections for comfort. There's just too many French donor, French call to President Trump 1 hour before Charlie Kirk gets assassinated, French Egyptian plane involving French dignitaries stopping in a French plane garage. There's just too many French for comfort. Even I, as a French guy, that's just too much French. Sean says, Papa, have you seen this looks maxing guy called Clavicular? I think it's funny how we finally are seeing some publicity on a straight shooting guy telling women the truth about what men are attracted to. Yeah, I saw this guy. I think it's interesting. This guy is interesting. You know, he's a totally different guy from me. I mean, he's obsessed with physique. I'm an intellectual, completely careless about physique. But it's interesting that this guy is so obsessed about physique, he actually works on his jaw structure, works on his bone, trains, injects. I see him injecting a woman with Botox. He does his own injections of whatever under the skin. And he has this whole conception of the perfect jaw structure. And his name is Clavicular, just showing the obsession about whatever, a physical, anatomical structure, because he's not that much into beauty like a metrosexual would be. That's interesting. He's not about makeup that much. He's not about clothes. He's about bone structure. I love the autism of it. That being said, you know, I don't know of any specific contribution that he does to the red pill sphere other than he has the general red pill language from the clips I've seen. He does tell women, you know, you're a 4 out of 10, you're a 6 out of 10. That was interesting, this clip. I don't know. Will he be intellectually contributing further to the red pill, or is he just a looks-obsessed young guy with a general red pill opinion? I guess history will know. The future will tell us. Click Accept says, England has many good cheeses. No, to be clear, I do understand that England has good cheeses. When I say English cheeses, it's because as a Quebecois, if I drive out of Quebec, suddenly there's no more cheese shops. And all of the cheese shops are all cheaper cheeses. It's all lower quality. And it's all, it's not the best cheeses of the world. So that's why I call them English cheeses. It's the kind of cheese you can buy in English Canada. It's just lower level. Even in Quebec, I mean, you have a lot of cheap cheese going around. But at least in Quebec, I know specific fromagerie where I could go and get some of the best cheeses. I'm so proud of my work. I've been working on the last few days on developing the perfect burger bun recipe for advanced restaurant grade pretzel buns, because I want white people food to be a book of exception. I don't want it to contain all of the recipes that you could get easily on the internet. I want those recipes to be worked with care. And so I've taken the time to try various proportions. How much milk do we need? How much sugar? What is the perfect point at which the bread becomes fluffy? Because I wanted the pretzel kind of solid, chewy exterior while having the fluffy burger bun inside so that you get a perfect burger experience. I believe that this morning I've reached the point that I wanted to reach. I've reached... No, this is not slightly overcooked. Click Accept. This is a process made with baking soda that overbrowns the bread with the same chemical reaction that you have in pretzels. So it's not overcooked. In fact, those buns, if anything, may have been slightly undercooked. So that is what you expect on a pretzel bun. You want it to be darker brown. And it's not an indicator that it's overcooked. It's an indicator that there was a proper alkaline solution applied to the outside of the bun. Now, the chewiness of this bun is just out of this world. And this recipe, I will keep it secret, and I will put it in white people food, and people will have to pay me $50-$60 to get that recipe, because, wow, I put a lot of effort in it. I don't see the equivalent on the internet. I've seen various ideas on the internet. Oh, do this for fluffiness. Do this for the pretzel effect. I've gathered all of this. I combined. And then I established something completely novel in terms of a recipe. And that is some of the best burger buns I've seen in my life and that I've tasted. And they are certainly the best buns I've ever baked. Cosmic Code says, please do your 23andMe results again one day, JF. I liked watching it back then, couldn't find the video. Okay, maybe I'll open up the 23andMe and look back at it. Sometimes they do change. Sometimes your genes stay the same, but they discover a new information that reclassifies you somewhere. Sadie Edwards says, bratwurst on a pretzel bun is some Oktoberfest kryptonite feed. That must be good, bro. That must be good. Jason PK, Marby Dog says $60 is expensive for a hamburger bun. But you're going to get also hundreds of other recipes too. But that might have to be the price of the book of white people food. Because I think that the printing cost, given the quality of the pictures, given the high quality printing, is going to be around $40 just to get the book printed. So if I want to make a little profit and then Amazon wants to make a little profit, I think it's going to build the cost up to $60. But I think it's going to be one of the highest quality cookbook you can get out there. I don't want to overstate my confidence, but I've seen a lot of cookbooks. I have Julia Child. I have a lot of cookbooks of the very well-known chefs. And I think it's going to be up there among the best. Jason PK says, Jeff, you can get for less than $1,500 a Roland E50 or Yamaha 670, all 88 weighted keys, just like a real piano, but better with an awesome sound engine for all kinds of instrument sounds. Well, yeah, those are, I know that those exist. I'm not super excited at them. I tried them. I need a slightly higher class than this and perhaps more than 88 keys. So that's the low end. I would have difficulty accepting to play on those. Over 54% of Americans, approximately 130 million people, now read below a sixth grade level, according to National Literacy Institute data. So we are headed toward true idiocracy. Marby Dog says, that's true. Cookbooks usually have heavier white paper and glossier finish than regular books. Exactly. That's why we are very constrained in the price. I can't do like the Revolutionary Phenotype and sell them at $20 and still make a profit. This is the one of the most blackpilling thing when you think about it, but it's a hidden blackpill. American multimillionaires are writing essays bragging that they have a girlfriend. It's truly over for you lot. Like, having a girlfriend shouldn't be so exceptional that this guy is bragging about it. Brian Johnson, a multimillionaire who funds his own research on improving his body and living forever. It shouldn't be so rare that someone has a girlfriend that you make a tweet about it and you're like, guys, I have a girlfriend. That should be blackpilling. Holy shit. We have attained the point where a multimillionaire wants to brag, but he doesn't brag about his big car or his harem of 10 women. He just brags about having a girlfriend. Now, I know what you're thinking. How is it possible that anyone would want to be with me? I understand where you're coming from. I think the answer is, her puzzle piece fits mine. In my early 20s, I read the biography of the American founding father, John Adams. He and his wife, Abigail, had one of the great partnerships of American history, intellectually matched, emotionally intertwined, and co-architects of something bigger than themselves. I wanted what they had. Unbelievable. There's so much condescending content that is emerging. just to give you an example. So this guy is telling us, you two could have a girlfriend. It's all about the match. There was this other guy who was saying, it's easy to approach woman. All you have to do is ask, can I meet you? Like, bro, this is a weird approach sentence. Can I meet you? And then there's this guy, condescending just as much. Dear Nick Fuentes followers. So there, he's like, you know, I know that times are hard and everything, but hard is an opportunity. Hard is an opportunity for challenge. It's like they discussed with a bunch of women in a conference room, and they had a PowerPoint saying, oh yeah, the followers of Nick Fuentes are desperate. They're desperate young men who cannot handle the harshness of the world. So we have to create content for people who think that the world is harsh. And so this guy makes a six-minute video message to message to the Nick Fuentes followers. I know that the world is hard, but you should revel in it. You should thrive in it. Hard is the opportunity for you to get better. Then another piece of clearly condescending content that has been produced in advance for a target audience that they don't understand. Ben Shapiro. You know how Ben Shapiro is increasingly criticized on the internet? heavily criticized on the internet for saying that people shouldn't retire and being insensitive to young men who can't buy houses and saying, if you can't buy a house, maybe you should just leave. And now he's totally adjusting his message. Buying a home feels impossible for Gen Z right now. My Gen Z guest tells me what they're up against. So it's like these people are trying to course correct on their preceding dismissal of the suffering of the new generation that is not being given a chance, that see a occupied employment market by people who are not even as talented as they would be. And people who have surfed on the fictitious rise of the economic size and the GDP fueled by inflation and other crap. And now you guys who benefited from this fake system of inflation are going to talk to us about what success is and how we should act. Boondock says, the Alberta Housewives said your ex edited their new show intro. Whatever, bro, whatever. It's like, you want to be a video artist now? Nick Fuentes has announced an annual stream with Richard Spencer next Thursday. So here we have... this is going to be exciting because Nick Fuentes will be with for 2 hours with Piers Morgan, and then on Thursday we're going to get a discussion with Richard Spencer. That is great to hear. Great advancement. Bhutan Bear has sent a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, question for Dr. G. Do Africans have higher proclivity for violence versus order because their genes are self-aware? They haven't been genetically refined, selected far enough yet. Well, there is no such thing as self-awareness in genes. Genes are just giving you behaviors, and they are causing the behaviors, and genes have been selected. If they cause the right behaviors to survive in your circumstance, they continue existing. If they cause the wrong behavior, they stop existing. So there's no self-awareness. Genes are never self-aware. They are just outputting behavior. So your question is invalid. Separatist sentiment is growing in Alberta. Separatist sentiment surging at the UCP, the Conservative Party. Now it's the mainstream of Danielle Smith's own party. Separatism is no longer an issue that Premier Smith can minimize, with the topic dominating the discussions among those in attendance at the United Conservative Party's annual general meeting. I hope. I hope that this happens, because if we don't leave, if we don't leave Canada in time, there isn't, it's going to be very hard for Alberta to survive. I know that right now it may be looking good because Alberta is scoring a couple of wins in with respect to the federal government, stepping back a little bit on taxation of natural gas and that kind of stuff. But in the long term, whatever happened under Trudeau will happen again, and worse will happen. So in the long term, there is no solution to the fact that we're stuck. We're stuck in a liberal dependent country. And we're stuck in a country that will be dependent on any energy they can drain. Sadi Edwards says, Canada is slightly less poor than India now. I guess we are India 2, the return of the Indian man. John Drake says, I'll be moving to Alberta as soon as separation is imminent. You would be clever to do so, because let me tell you, life is good here. Life is good. I have finally found a place where I'm confident that my grandchildren can live, that they won't be annoyed by the government. Finally, a competent government that knows the difference between ridiculous allegations by a woman and the truth. This is the first government I encounter that respects my right, where someone tries to mess with my life and they completely fail. They get completely denied. So I didn't expect this. I didn't expect this, because I've been habituated to stupid zombie government employees who are like literally like fish in an aquarium. You want to knock on the glass and check if there's someone inside. And here, they are doing different. They are being intelligent about it. GM for the People says Alberta needs to 10x. 10x! It's grid to hook up and connect planned and future data center to natural gas-fueled microgrids. They need to go big on the grid. Absolutely. Free natural gas that comes out. Natural gas comes from the process of injecting pressure into the reserves of oil so that the oil can be drained. It's like any container that you want to empty, you know, if you drill a hole to let the pressure stabilize, you can drain more of the liquid. So as part of oil extraction, what companies do is while they pump off through one hole, they inject air through the other hole. Now, the result is we're pushing some of the gases that were just naturally trapped in those pockets of oil. And what is it? It's a superb gas that unfortunately is a pollutant if you let it go. So what do? We burn it. So you're going to burn natural gas. Every time you pump oil, you burn natural gas. Now, you can burn it without a function, which is called flaring, or you can burn it with a purpose. So it's a free resource, really. It's something that you're going to burn. You're going to burn because it's worth burning it anyways to get to the oil. But using that free resource in abundance, first, I'm heating my home with natural gas. Many people in Alberta are. Secondly, yes, we have to team up with the rise of AI, because in all of these places that are relying on sustainable resources and other methods, eventually this will show its limits. And eventually people will realize, well, we have to go back to what works and what's free. And what's free is the byproduct of oil drilling, natural gas. And the sustainability of AI growth right now is under severe question. Because they got to the point of AI right now with the current grid, but they're draining more and more of the relative proportion of power. And if you have a growing population on top of it, there's more demand. If gas can be there to undercut this and make data centers that are 10 times bigger without a problem, this will be... And this is Kevin O'Leary's play. He wants to put himself as a gatekeeper of natural gas development with respect to AI. That's what he's been promoting. GM for the People says, Alberta currently does not have a plan to grow the grid fast enough to connect all these intended natural gas electricity plants. So they have told the DC guys, bring your own grid. Well, yeah, I mean, that needs to be improved, indeed. Because I think that Alberta has a great future anyways, no matter what. Because I think... The same way, you know, Elon couldn't sustain living in California and eventually got kicked out of Delaware by bad judge decisions. I believe that the same phenomenon will happen with all coastal areas. Whether it's Portland, British Columbia, Quebec, PEI, I had to flee. People are going to have to flee and they're going to find, holy shit, a reasonable state and province or province in North Dakota, Alberta, Montana, whatever, wherever they flee. And it's like, it's the only places that are still normal, that are not engaged in a total attack onto their own population and onto their families. So it's not sustainable. The liberal environment is not sustainable. It's a social experience. It didn't pass the test of time. Now you're gonna have some liberals that stay in those places, but how many babies are they gonna get? How much replacement rate will they have to go through by attracting more migrants, creating more problems? Their society will crumble. Meanwhile, we will be there to welcome people who have been fleeing those places. And the only way those places are truly attractive is they are pouring money. They're pouring money to create something like Silicon Valley. And it's because of the stock market and everyone throws their money at their stocks. So now you have a company suddenly that has billions of dollars available because they sold their own stock to the world and it happens to be located in California. But if we're talking about viability long term, it's not very clever to set up in California. It doesn't make sense from an AI perspective. Doesn't make sense. Joseph Ben says, hello, JF. Do you think if I put all my life saving on red this weekend at the casino is high risk, high reward strategy, therefore is it high IQ? Lol. It's kind of stupid. I mean, unless your life savings are so small that you don't care. I guess if your life savings are $10, sure, go bet it on the red. But if your life savings are meaningful, why would you want to expose yourself to that risk? Knowing the principle of discounted utility. If I give someone $1 million, he will experience that much joy. If I give someone $2 million, or if I take someone who already has $1 million and I give him another $1 million, how much more joy is he gonna feel? Maybe this? See, The difference between having nothing, having $1 million is a big difference. But the difference between having nothing and having $2 million is almost the same. Your second million isn't worth the first million, because all of the luxuries that were your priorities, you spent the $1 million on them. The secondary stuff that you'll buy with the second million will not bring you that much joy. For this reason, putting everything on the red in a roulette VIP flip coin flip, and by the way, it's not even technically a coin flip, it's below a coin flip, so you're not 50-50, you're really 49-48% because there's the zero in roulette. There's the zero that can mess your strategy. Putting your life savings is the equivalent of giving equal value to the second $1 million as you give to the first, which you shouldn't do. It's an irrational decision. You are much better investing those life savings in Bitcoin at a good moment. That may not be now. I don't know. Today, Bitcoin has been performing very good. Bitcoin ETH are doing very good. We might be headed toward a kind of return to the peak. Maybe not piercing through the peak, but maybe a slow return to the peak. Personally, I've been huddling, but betting on the red is stupid. Joseph says, thank you for the insights. I shall refrain from going to the casino this weekend then. Okay, good idea. Rodidison says, but black and red is the game where you have the best odds in casino. It's just a pure 50-50. Oh, I thought he was talking about roulette VIP. So there's a game called black and red where you have true 50-50. I didn't know that. Okay, but it doesn't change my statement. There is no second best. Judge restricts immigration arrest in D.C. A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to stop making warrantless immigration arrests in the District of Columbia without probable cause. The judge said that the plaintiffs made a strong case that immigration officers have been arresting immigrants without warrants or conducting assessments to determine if each individual poses a flight risk. So judge interference, this kind of interferes with the plan of Donald Trump to be cleaning up the streets of Washington, D.C. will he listen to it? I don't know, because increasingly we are seeing Trump challenge judge orders, just not caring. Just telling the employees of the state, go ahead, I will back you, continue doing it. So I don't know if it will have any effect. And I think that Trump probably, anyways, has done most of what he had to do in D.C. Now, maybe this new order from the judge may lead to migrants coming back onto the streets or whatever, but would it be in big numbers? I don't know. Sean B. says, but what about our vacation homes, Papa? We can't give up the warm land. I guess I just don't like the idea of giving away good land so easily and being stuck in only cold places. Bro, the lands are already lost. So for those who say, JF, I don't want to retreat. I want California. I want Florida. I want everything. It's like, okay, but you've already lost them. California is already not a place that feels like the original America. It's not a place that will honor your rights as a father. It's a place that will actually attempt to trance your kids against your consent. So when is it that you admit defeat? When is it that you admit the empire's extent doesn't even extend there? because you would admit this for a conquered nation. You would admit, for example, that Afghanistan is not under our reach anymore. You wouldn't go and walk on the streets of Afghanistan and feel, this is my home, because we dominated the country through the American army. It's ours. No, you lost control of Afghanistan. Well, you lost control of California too. So it's like staying there will only expose you to be oppressed by the rising leftist forces. You can stay there if you like it. Enjoy. But you're not going to get it back. So staying there has no function. You're staying in front of the front line of the war. Give me one moment. I'm still sneezing because I'm still a little sick. GM for the people says, underground, it's always 50F. Vault life. Hashtag vault life. GM for the people is in his bunker, covered in radiation shields, aluminum paper. He's like, vault, hashtag vault life. We're going to meme underground life. I mean, I think that underground life is something that, fascinatingly, has not been explored very much by humanity. And you have Elon with his boring company. He's kind of tapped into this. He's trying to tap into it. From the perspective of road circulation and cars. But underground living seems like there would be massive gains to be had in underground living, or maybe like in the movie The Time Machine, where they live on the side of crevasses and in valleys, they live suspended basically on the walls of a hole. I think there probably is, if humanity keeps extending always and occupying too much space for the surface to be able to handle, I would be okay with life underground. I think you're going to be exposed to less sun. That's a good thing. Less radiation. Joseph Ben says the Minecraft cave is so Kino. Yeah, I'm going to make some additions, but you can see the basic concept here. I'm very happy about this concept. I like these colors. I'm going to add maybe a revolutionary phenotype book here. Maybe some other thing here. We're gonna try to make it less visually stimulating. Boondock Saint says, my boomer parents sold their vacation home in Myrtle Beach yesterday. Only the boomers will know the thrill of owning one home, let alone two. Oh yeah, it's hard to own a home. It's hard to make it in this society without generational money. And that is something I understood very late in life. Because when I was a kid, coming from a working class family, I thought that everyone was working. And I was like, okay, That was my understanding. As a young idealist, my understanding of the economy was like, people are working. They're making money because their work is profitable. They're then spending that money on things. And therefore, the companies, what they're trying to do is they're trying to offer services to the people that they want to buy with the money that they've earned working. And that is a spell. That is a great lie. the world doesn't work that way. And I think that this is very rarely said. The world doesn't work that way. It's not about you work hard. And you have so much of this crap being repeated by right-wingers, conservatives. You just have to work hard. But then you look into their life and it's like, oh, how did you get that job? Ah, a little grab from heaven. Like, how did J.D. Vance get hired? Well, his sponsor, David Frum, was coaching him in the university, recommended him. He was given basically a Peter Thiel job that was basically not a job. He didn't have to work, and he was just getting money because they were grooming him for later use. You just look at me, you know, I come out of the university, I start a YouTube channel, I show some friendship to Jeff Epstein, he sends me money. Then 1 year down the line, I get a job offer from a well-known, from one of the most well-known underwear female company, like the dream job. Your job, JF, would be to be paid to watch female models wear our new lines of underwear. It's like, what the fuck? Now, you have to understand this, because you go to these job interviews and you think you're going to get the job, but they already know who they want. You're there for decoration. You're there just so they can make the argument that they selected who they wanted from a diverse set of applicants. You are decoration if you apply to jobs and think you're just going to get it out of 100 other applicants. Jobs are truly, they are given in advance most of the time. And anyways, even if you get those jobs, that's not even the basis of the economy. Hard work is not the basis of the economy. Delusions built around company value, forever flow of increasing value of companies due to Fed inflation, and people who can invest in advance and then cash out of a system before it crashes and before the full deception is revealed. That is the true motor of the economy. That is how you become a millionaire. It's not by working hard. You invest some money into this ever-rising system of zombie economics. And Bitcoin was the opportunity of my lifetime. Before Bitcoin, there was other opportunities, but it's not hard work. It is investment, and it is having a little bit of money and putting it in the right places. You're never going to get a job that gives you this, that gives you $1 million. Even there are people who are paid $1 million, but it's kind of stupid to pay them $1 million because it's going to be taxed half of it. So generally, these jobs are really, they are public titles, really. When you see a CEO being paid $1 million or $10 million or $50 million, it's really representative, and it's the company saying, we're just going to give that money to the government. Sean B says, I get a good feeling working with my hands, but I realize the money I'm making is just not enough to get ahead. Exactly. You have so much people, they will spend their lives spinning in the sand because they believe that lie that I believed when I was young. They're like, it should work. I have a job. I work hard. I have an apartment. it should all work. But no, the economy doesn't work like this. The economy isn't there to make your life viable. The economy is there to fuck you up. The economy is there to drain everything you have and to make more money for other people. And the only way you can play the game to outcompete those people is to be better at them at finding the ways in which the world will get fucked. And Bitcoin was one of those. I'm not telling you that I'm so talented that I can tell you what will be the next great thing in the 20-year range. But I can tell you that when I saw Bitcoin, I understood. And way before a lot of people understood, I understood the greatness of it before people woke up. So that's how you can fuck the system up. It's by being faster on this kind of stuff. So don't aim to work hard up to $1 million. Aim to work hard up to $10,000 savings. And then be super intelligent with that $10,000. Don't spend it on getting a better car with AC or whatever. My cars have never had AC until I actually bought a used car. And then and then I bought a new car and they forced AC in it. I didn't even have the choice of no AC. So whatever savings you can generate them, and then play that money intelligently. Sean B says, I get a good feeling working with my hands, but this one I read. Nicholas Petris says, and then the psychopathic in ruler positions want to try convincing the lowly peasants that they should work 40, 80 plus hours a week. Infuriating. Absolutely. It's... Once you see this, you realize the extent of the lie, like, is so much bigger than even the craziest of minds do realize. Like, okay, you go to a Candace Owens show, you're going to see a lot. You're going to see worries about a massive conspiracy. But it's so much bigger than this. It's actually, the conspiracy is that there's a bunch of people benefiting from this society and exploiting it like a plantation. And they absolutely lie to you every day about it. They have so much money that they can hire people to make you believe that lie. They can scare you into becoming a little robot, giving all of his time. Sadie Edwards says, Unvaxxed Seaman is the next Bitcoin. Boondock says, I think my girlfriend has an eating disorder. It interferes with her cooking and being trad. Well, what's her eating disorder? Is it that she doesn't want to eat? That's not a bad thing. Most people would benefit from a little more anorexia, I guess. Facebook parent Meta says that it is starting to remove users under 16 from social media in Australia. So a clear out because the laws are getting too tight in Australia. Facebook is out for the minors. I'll be back in a second. KL says, what's JF's ethnic background? Well, I come from a long line of Christian, Catholic Frenchmen, farmers, that is mostly located in the south of France up until the 18th century when my ancestor Jean Gariepi moves from France to Quebec. And I am a pure Western European with a small component of Portuguese, Northern Portuguese origin, about, I believe, 17% of my genetics. The rest all pure French. Sony Crockett says, hey, chat, what should I do with 30K? With 30K, you either buy Bitcoin now or you buy Bitcoin when you feel that the low of the market has arrived, which could be now, could be in a year from now, could be 2 years from now. But 2 years from now is getting tight on the next halving. But yeah, you buy Bitcoin when you feel that Bitcoin has attained its bottom. That's what you do. If the current trends continue, whites will go from being a small minority of the world population today to virtually extinct. It's nice to see Elon posting that kind of stuff. It's nice. It's really nice. I guess people are waking up to stuff that we've been talking about since 2016. That's great. That's great. It is true that the white people are on the verge of extinction. That is why I'm writing White People Food. It's because I truly think that many segments of many places that are white right now will not be white anymore. And that with them, with their disappearance, will disappear a whole culture of food. So I think that if I don't save those recipes from across the white world, I have now Russian recipes, Polish recipes, German. I have the whole, and I have lots of American, Canadian stuff. Sweden. I've been discovering so much about food doing the research. I've been discovering the s'more bread tradition of Sweden, Finland, this idea of having a toast, a bread toast, a rye bread toast covered with herring, pickled herring, and beautiful little vegetables and caper. I didn't know it was such a big thing. S'more bread. And the recipes are beautiful. I've learned about very good soups. Excellent soups. The Cullen's Kink, an English soup with a white fish round in the middle, very creamy, absolutely delicious. I can't believe everything I'm learning about going through the research of white people food. Rock says, Papa, background looks great. Looks like big Scrabble tiles. Absolutely. I'm happy about this background. I want to paint this. There's a space here. I'm going to have to paint it black to make it not visible. Then I want to do some additions. But the basis is there. Click Accept says, I think that's the right instinct, JF. I'm writing mathematics now, not for contemporaries, not for the future, but because it might be unearthed in the future when we are long gone. Absolutely. That's how I think of life. Absolutely. Robert says, as a Scot, I'm curious to know, have you tried haggis, JF? Absolutely, I did. 2 months ago, approximately 2 or 4 months ago. It is absolutely delicious. I have eaten a haggis that I bought in Edmonton. Absolutely delicious. One of the best things that I've discovered in late life. I didn't know it would be that good. This totally hit the note on everything I love about food as a Quebecois. Meat pies, blood pudding, the haggis with the stomach of the sheep containing all this mix, and it is so meaty. I think it may be the meatiest thing. I think you can literally slice a piece of steak, and it's not as meaty as the haggis. The meaty taste of heart and kidney meat or whatever it is that they put in that mix. And I thought that the oats would be too dominant, because I was seeing visually there's a lot of oats in this. But somehow the oats have taken that super meaty taste. And when I opened the haggis, there was this smell of vomit, of sheep vomit. And it's like, oh my God, it's going to be rough. But then you start digging with the fork and it doesn't taste vomit at all. It just smells vomit. It tastes like one of the best things it's on my list of the top 20 things I've eaten. Haggis, foie gras, meat pie. What are the best things that I've eaten? Ragout de boulette, all sorts of foie gras, all of the pied de cochon preparations of foie gras. Poutine. Definitely very good. Boondock says, your background is so unique. I liked your old one too. Where did you get the idea for it? Well, I wanted a philosophical commentary in my background. Because I see all of these fake-ass podcasts that are dressing themselves in wooden tones. And you know how wood is associated with real. And sometimes they have books in the background and other items of classical meaning, you know, so that they exhume this philosophical, classical look. And you know that they're exploiting wood, because it's like, it's all fake, bro. You made a fake counter in fake wood to look genuine. And I wanted my decor to be a unique mockery of this. So I wanted the wooden elements to shine at proving that it is real wood. Like, this is wood that I've personally tinted with various tints, with various stains. But at the same time, I wanted an element that says what you're seeing is not nature. You are in the virtual world. You are in a world of pixel. You are in the lie. So a background of lies, a background of virtuality, a background that reminds, I hope it will remind people across the ages that authenticity is extremely easy to fake. And that there's a lot of people in the streaming business right now who are not real. They are not real. They look like they're crowdsourced, crowdfunded. They look authentic. They look like, oh, it's just a little discussion in the campfire, around the campfire. The campfire is alive. The campfire is under control. The campfire is the occasion for a bunch of rich people to decide how you will think and to direct your thinking. And these streamers, they are fake asses. They don't know what they're doing. They don't engage with the public. They don't engage with critique. They are fakes. That was the message in my background. They are a virtual world. They're using wood. It's a shame for the wood. It's a shame for the wood, what they do. Ty Rogerson says, JF is digitally passing the torch. Absolutely not. I have my torch. I'm ready to hand it to Candace Owens for a minute. I just want to say, Candace and, you know, Laura Loomer was not even the main subject of her show. But just en passant, she does a devastating commentary on Laura Loomer being critical of this new wave of Pentagon press corps. So the Pentagon has a new policy in place, and they got all these Laura Loomer types to be kind of accepted within the press corps. And I think that the mainstream media walked away or something like this. So they invited in all of these bloggers and these supposedly right-wing people. But just the talent of Candace Owens to be just dropping a fucking hammer on Laura Loomer's head. Just look at this beauty.
To let in new, independent, more trusted journalists. And some of them are, okay. James O'Keefe, obviously, formerly of Project Veritas. He's very much trusted. Matt Gaetz, I like him very much. But some of the people that they let in are almost the exact opposite of trustworthy and are just radically pro-Zionist. Like, they will lie, steal, cheat, and figuratively murder, literally allow Israel to murder without asking any questions. And so that's why they're being let in, most notably, obviously, Laura Loomer. She's totally nutty. And I don't say that in a way of, like, it's an ad hominem attack. I mean, like, she has psychotic issues. Allowing Laura Loomer into a national defense complex is actually sort of just an indication to just how committed they are to laundering the reputations of anyone, as long as they say, I support Israel. Because Laura Loomer is quite literally so deranged that she once handcuffed herself to the Twitter headquarters because they banned her account, okay? That's like, and she wore a yellow Star of David. When I met her, she was crying.
Laura Loomer with a yellow star, with the handcuffs to X. And the reminder that, yes, when you think about this, Laura Loomer cannot own a gun because she's that crazy, but she can be in the Pentagon. She can cover national security issues. It's kind of funny to think about. Joseph says, okay, she's insane. I just find this beautiful, how Candace will just casually absolutely destroy Laura Loomer.
Tears because they took away her check mark. She deeply, deeply cares about social media in a way that is just unhinged, okay? Now, she is apparently not allowed to own a gun because of various psychotic events that required her hospitalization, but due to her commitment to Zionism, which in a Zionist defense seems like a psychopathology is a prerequisite, the media is now trying to mainstream her and make us think that she's like a serious person. So our government, the Pentagon.
It's so subtle what she's doing. I just wanted to say it. Candace Owens is a true artist and she is truly changing the live streaming game. It is absolutely beautiful the way she works. And I've been critical of her because I've always been wanting her to improve. Because if she talks about the nutty stuff, then she gets decredibilized. And I want her to not be decredibilized. I want her to be on her best reporting ethics. So that precisely we can say that she is credible. But in any case, what a talent in terms of the delivery. She's been talking about the French Connection yesterday, describing a French network of a donor, of a weird family that seems to be getting away with justice very easy. Like she told the story of, I didn't know about this guy, Dupont, who apparently raped his own daughter, 3-year-old, and got away easy with the law. I didn't know about all this. Clearly, there is some weird stuff going on in America with money and justice. And Candace is exposing so much of it, the TPUSA people are absolutely shitting their pants. What else do we have tonight? Commentary on the boats that are getting bombed by Donald Trump. Most narco traffickers are not in those boats. They pay people to do that. It's the way they make money. Well, okay, but that's not an argument. I mean, whether you're bombing the boat because there's the boss in it or whether it's an employee of the boss, if it's a boat that was carrying narcotics into the U.S., then it was a legitimate danger. Personally, I don't have a strong opinion on the bombing of the boats. It is a violation of due process. But then at the same time, there's no due process for people outside of America. So it's like there's no... Basically, America is at war, and it can legitimately make decisions of war. And in this case, it makes the decision that it can to eliminate those sources of drugs. But I hope that they are serious about this. Because what tells me what are... See our friend John McAfee, who had been on the show. This is the kind of guy who will take a boat from Venezuela and drive toward the U.S. and sail toward the U.S. How do I know that you haven't killed a random John McAfee who wasn't bringing drugs into the U.S.? What kind of verification are they doing before they do these decisions? I would like to know that, but at the same time, all is fair in war and love. Sean B. says, Papa, I know you talked about ADHD before, but what do you think someone could do to get that childlike wonder back? I find myself wishing I could be more enveloped and lost in learning in a good way. I don't know what's the relationship between ADHD and childlike wonder. Not sure what you're asking there. If you ask me, how do I recover my idealism of my youth, you never will. I don't think it's fit for an old man to be as idealistic as a young man. I believe that nature made us that way. It made us crystallize. It made us grow into a stubborn form. And there's good reasons for this. And so what I would recommend to old men, to people like me, like I'm 41, don't try to recover the wonders of your youth. Accept your new state and accept that there's a point in life at which it's good to plant a stake and say, this is what I will stand for, and it won't change, and I'll die doing it. When you could argue I've done this very young in my life. Most people, they become grumpy and, you know, edgy in late career. They get out of the system very late, and it's very safe for them to do so. I threw myself into committed positions publicly since I'm very young, since I'm out of the university around 28, 29 years old. Because I thought, I thought this is headed there anyway. So I might as well exit the system early. Sean says, I feel like I'm not inspired like when I was a child. I can't focus as much anymore. Well, accept this. This is always going to be the case. You are in cognitive decline. Just enjoy the fact that you still have existence. There are advantages to the youth's form of thinking, but there are massive disadvantages too. You know, the general openness of the youth? Consider how many will be too open, and they will end up trapped in lifestyles that are not to their interest. The cost of the openness of the youth is massive. It's resulting in people with drug addictions, people who are headed into false beliefs, people who are exploring sexuality that is dangerous for them and that is not reproductive. So the cognitive openness of the youth is basically a life threat. And it's a life threat, especially in a world that has so many traps that can tell you, try this drug, try this sex, try this gender. And so I would say, you know, don't try to recover this openness. First, it's gone. Second, nature made it so that it would be gone. And third, there's a function to being crystallized. It's because nature has decided that the old man's mission was not to have this random success pursuing risky stories. or risky entrepreneurial projects. The function of the old man is to complain and to basically stand as a stake of a functioning culture. The old man is disposable. He can dare to say the things that he wants, because anyways he's going to be dead soon, and anyways it's not going to affect his employment, and anyways he doesn't need employment anymore. So enjoy that position, be crystallized, and be stubborn in your beliefs, stubborn in your pursuit. The function of the old man mostly is to inspire the new generations and perhaps to educate them to things that the rest of the world doesn't educate them. So you are now in the teacher position. You are no more. You are no more an explorer of the world. You do not need that plasticity anymore. You know how the world works. You know what's good. You know what's bad. Openness is good when you don't know. But you know. Sadie Edwards says, I knew I was old when I started looking at both the MILF and her daughter. Oh, that is a funny one. Good night, everyone. I don't know if I'll have a show or maybe late tomorrow. I have to see my schedule, but I might be back tomorrow. Or worst case scenario, Friday. Much love, everyone.